we go. All right. Good evening, folks. How you doing? This is Philip Vandermeulen with Toxic Masculinity. I am here with my good friend, Jason Dale. And tonight we are going to talk about basically eight flirting moves that guys really hate. And this is stuff that most girls are guilty of doing. Before we do that, we're going to kind of do a small little recap on the last one about nice guys and, you know, kind of bring in a summary and a little bit of a viewpoint from my friend Jason. How you doing tonight, Jason? Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Oh, doing well. Thanks for having me on. The whole thing about the whole nice guys thing was pretty entertaining. Great podcast. If you get a chance to check it out, please look it up. A little bit about myself. Grew up here in Portland. Got stuck, you know, I'm kind of stuck here, I'd say, now in Portland. But this is home.
Oh, Portland's good. It's the people that suck, yeah. You know, or a portion of the people. You know, Portland's great in and of itself. I like the history of the city and a lot of the things, you know, working in the industries that, you know, that I've worked in, you know, you have to preserve that history. So Portland's good. It's just a lot of the people suck depending on their political and upbringing type leanings.
Right. It's entertaining around here for sure. I mean, you can pretty much, you know, when they say, when you can go around, you can, you know, coming up or we just had it was the good old naked bike ride. Usually the unfortunate thing is it's usually the people you don't want to see naked riding bikes. One of the great things I did years ago, I really pissed off this guy, was they're going by OMSI. We're hanging outside and the naked bike ride goes by and it was like 90 degrees out. It was hot. It was still summertime. People were sweating and they're kind of irritated. And I just made the comment loud. I said, man, I didn't know it was cold out here. When this naked guy goes right by, he stopped real quick. What the hell are you saying? And I just kind of said, oh, I'm sorry about your micro penis. And he just kind of, he got pissed and rode off and told me F off.
But, such toxic masculinity you're slinging out there.
I know, I'm so horrible. But no, what I'm here for, I'm going to try to bring up Phil's hate mail a little bit more because unfortunately we're not getting to much of that. We need to get that up. We need to get those numbers up. Because
yes. They're rookie numbers.
Yeah, come on, they're rookie numbers. But no, myself, like I said, been here all my life, raised here. It's a damn beautiful city. Don't get me wrong there. I mean, the city itself is beautiful. If I get rid of about, I'd say about 80% of the people here, it'd be a perfect city.
Well, and the benefit is, you know, having you on, we get to have the somebody that is a native of the Pacific Northwest kind of help us weave and navigate through some of the thought processes up here, although Jason is very much a lot like me in the aspect of his political leanings, kind of that center right. But I grew up in San Diego, California, so it's a Navy town. You get a lot of, you know, that type of perspective. So, but having somebody that's a native of the Pacific Northwest really kind of helps clarify why people are the way they are. And also I can ask him, you know, how was it 20 years ago, you know, before all the bullshit came to town, you know, because really the last 20, 25 years, from my understanding, is when, you know, this kind of took hold. Prior to that, you know, Portland and Oregon in general was this, oh yeah, come and visit and then go the fuck home. You know, we don't want you here.
Well, Tom McCall, his one of his famous sayings was come visit, but don't move here or don't move here. And that's the way it was. Cause you would, they want you to come tourists, but I mean, come do all the tourist fun stuff. But you know, we were a small little town. However, now we're a big city with pretty much a small town footprint, i.e. that's why you get the good old traffic issues that we have. I mean, don't get me wrong. If you want to come live in Portland, if you want to spend an hour and a half in traffic, if that's one of your fetishes, you know, please, I mean, move here for that. If you like walking down beautiful downtown Portland and being asked for change every 10 to 15, 20 seconds by some other tweaker on the side of the road, yeah, that's your thing. Yeah.
By the way, Portland is very homeless friendly, kind of like Seattle and some of the other more progressive towns.
Yep.
So, I worked downtown for a while too. And, you know, I can't tell you how many times, kind of like San Francisco recently, where I've actually stepped in human shit because, oh, well, we can't push the homeless out. They have rights too. And I understand being sympathetic to it. But on the same token, and that's something else that we can get into. But right now, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to transition. Transition into these eight particular things that girls do to flirt that just, you know, melt our brains and drive us insane. This was actually brought up by an Instagram post that I follow. I'll bring up the guy's name and his Instagram page so that way nobody can claim that I stole it and made it up, you know, pretended to make it up myself. But I've interacted with him a few times, nothing significant, but, you know, he knows of me and I know of him, and we discuss things on Instagram. This is one of the things that he had brought up in some of his posts. And for the most part, I think out of the eight, probably 7.5, I agree with. I've had the experience with some of them. Others of them, it's just a matter of it's common sense. And, you know, whether you're animal, vegetable, or mineral, don't do this when you're trying to flirt. So, and then also when we get right back immediately, we're going to just kind of do a quick summary of the nice guy. I want to hear what Jason has as far as in depth for what he was thinking about when it came to listening to that podcast. Stick with us. Okay, we're back. And so to go through kind of a quick summary of the last one, I was talking about really at the end how there's a difference between being a truly nice guy, and most nice guys don't go around touting that, and then there's the nice guy that wants to get something out of it and going from there. And those are the nice guys that do finish last. But Jason has a couple highlights, some things that he thought about when he listened to it that he wants to share with us.
Right. Well, my thing is, you know, you talk about, you know, some of these people that are whining about, I'm a nice guy, and, you know, why does anybody date me? Well, the thing is, the reason you're not getting dates and not getting out there is because you're a fucking pushover. You don't do anything except for sit there and whine. You don't interact. What you want to do, if you want a gal's attention, go up and get her attention. Go talk to her, start chatting with her, you know, find out interest with her. Be a gentleman. Don't be a pussy. Be a gentleman. There is a difference. You can either be a whiner and say that I'm just like, you know, just sit there and whine about it all the time, like Phil and I've seen on posts before. I've been in the group now for over a year, so Phil and I are good. We troll them, you know, kind of have fun with them, do that kind of thing.
Well, basically, what I look at what you're trying to say is kind of like what I mentioned about the aspect of, you know, be dangerous. You know, you don't have to be like jump off a cliff,
right?
Dangerous, but, you know, have some mystery, have some danger, have some, you know, intrigue to you, something that will, you know, and that's getting off of the couch and not worrying about being a nice guy, but worrying about being able to be the type of person that is attractive not only to women but to people in general.
Right.
Couch potatoes and couch surfers, you know, are never really the most attractive person in the room. So
exactly. I mean, be bold, be, you know, like, I mean, and you know, there's times when all guys' lives, when we all do that stupid thing where we're like, oh, we're sitting there going, why am I the next guy? It takes a little while to figure it out. But once you do, things are better. Give you an example. There's a gal you like, you know, and if it's part of a group chat, you know, send her a message, say, hey, I really like your personality. You're great. You know, start the conversation and, you know, ask about her, you know, don't just make it about you. Don't whine. No woman wants a wuss. I'm sorry. I mean, yeah, we're living in the days and age where, you know, we're supposed to be soft and cuddly and all that crap. I mean, you can be soft and cuddly, but don't be a wuss. I mean, you can cuddle and protect a woman just fine and be with them and give them all they need without being such a puss as a lot of these quote unquote nice guys are. And then the other ones you're talking about, the douches, the reason they act like that is another reason is because they did get treated like shit. So that's their way of venting about it. And they are the ones that are like that all bark and no bite. It's, you know, you see the mouthy, cocky SOBs around, and when you actually, you know, put their foot to the fire, you know, they actually say, you know, that's when you find out that they're more of a
they bark were the bite. Nice guy.
Yeah. You're more of a bark and a bite. But yeah, don't go that route. Like I said, be a gentleman. And I mean, be a gentleman.
Well, the hard part is most because of, and I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that there is actually a war on men. And has been since the early 90s is really when it kicked into gear. And this war on men and against the masculinity of men is really the culprit as to why we don't have gentlemen.
Exactly.
Is the reason why we don't have the men that are bold that'll walk up to somebody and say, hey, I think you're beautiful. I don't want anything from you. I just wanted to let you know that from my standpoint, I find you very attractive and you brightened up my day because just you're elegant, you're graceful, you're beautiful, and please have a nice day and walk away. One of my best friends and mentors would do that. Girls at the gym, girls, you know, we'd be on our way to go, you know, get masa to make, tamales and stuff like that. He, and the man's 64 years old, but he still, to this day, does it. He's beating off 22-year-old women with a board because they're like, oh, wow, look at this guy. You know, but if you talk to my buddy about it and asked him if he was a nice guy, he goes, no, I'm the biggest prick on the face of the planet. You know, he doesn't see it because that's not his goal. His goal is not to get laid. His goal is he is genuine. And for those of you that may not be genuine or don't understand what genuine is because of this war on men and masculinity that we've had for the last 25 years, it takes a while to learn it. It can be learned, like I said, but it takes a long time and you really got to be willing to strip yourself of everything. Well, this segment's going a little long. That's just kind of a little bit of a another viewpoint bringing it in. When we get back, 8 points that ladies are doing. And, you know, I don't know how many ladies we're getting to listen to this, but, you know, hopefully we'll get more. And, we're definitely open for the hate mail over here. After all, it is toxic masculinity and I am fervently toxic.
What's the email address?
The email address is toxicmasculinity.show@gmail.com. So you want to send stuff there, toxicmasculinity.show@gmail.com. You can address it to me. Or if you do have this Anchor app, you can actually send me a message here or a voice message. And if you send me a voice message, I might just put it on one of the podcasts. And when the time comes that we have a Q&A, it'll be very fun to bring these up and actually answer them and hopefully get some feedback back from you. But we'll be right back. Hang on. So I want to know, folks, what is the greatest nation on the top side of the planet? Well, of course, it's America. So let me ask you, what is the second greatest nation on the top side of the planet? A donation. So, and that's what makes America great is the capitalistic mindset that we have here. The reason I bring this up, if you like this podcast and you're enjoying what's going on, listener support is now activated. And it's very easy to do. You do not have to sign up to Anchor. You don't have to be a member of any of the platforms that this is available on. All you have to do is go to www.anchor.fm/Philip with two L's, PHILLIP dash Vandermeulen. Yes, I know. I don't have a name like Chase or Holmes or Clark or Smith. Vandermeulen. So Philip, PHILLIP dash Vandermeulen. V as in Victor. ANDER. M as in Mary. EULEN. If you want to support the program, go to that link. Anchor.fm/Philip Vandermeulen. There will be a site there, a button there where you can push to listen to on any of the 9 platforms we are presented on, and another one that says listener support. Click on that for as low as $1 a month. You can support this. This is small endeavor. We're hoping to grow it, hoping to get bigger. And if you're so inclined, we would appreciate it for as little as $1 a month. So feel free to support us, to subscribe. Definitely listen to this on the big platforms, iTunes, Google, Spotify, things like that. And I appreciate all your listens, and hopefully we can keep this going in the future, expand it and grow it with your help. Once again, it's anchor.fm/Philip-Vandermeulen. And we will be right back. Okay, so Jason, what do you think about women that use baby voices?
Oh, geez.
So here's the definition before we get into this. This was actually published on Instagram by one of the guys that I follow. It's and his handle is actually USMC Spies Eye. His name is Alan, and he posted this on his Instagram: 8 flirting moves that guys actually hate. So, again, what do you think about baby voices?
Man, that's just crazy. I mean, you know, baby voices. Yeah, not my thing. I want a mature woman. I don't want a child. You know, I'm a single dad. I raised my daughter, but when it comes to the woman I'm with, don't act like a child. That brings in this.
And so what about women that call you daddy?
Oh shit, I can't stand that. I cannot stand that. No, I'm serious. I've had that happen. I've been in bed and I've had women call me that, and that's a big turnoff for me. Some guys like that, that's fine, but having a daughter, hell no. That's just gross. Biggest turnoff. That'll make my dick just shrivel up. I'm sorry, but no, don't do that. You know, unless you're joking, playing around. But yeah, that's not my thing. I mean, we have some people that like that name. Myself, I just don't.
I don't mind them calling me daddy. It's when they call me daddy all the time. Like, don't call me daddy in front of my daughter. I've got a 13-year-old daughter too. So, you know, yeah. Don't call me daddy in front of my daughter, because it not only confuses her, but, you know, and then she's looking at me like, dad's a weirdo, you know, and right. She already looks at me like, dad's a weirdo, you know, sometimes.
You're teenagers. Yeah, I think you're weird.
And so, you know, I don't mind that. And like you said, if it's in a joking, playful way, like we're in the store and she's like, take me home, daddy, and do dirty things to me. It's like, okay, that I can deal with. But if it's actual, just like daddy, daddy, daddy all the time, and then baby voices, daddy, daddy. Yeah. No, I'm with you. I can't. You know, I can't deal with that. This is what Alan put in here. He says, using a baby voice, the problem here is twofold. Beyond it being annoying, it insinuates that we find babies sexually attractive. Please don't do this under any circumstance. What do you think about that last part, that we actually would find kids attractive with a baby voice? I never thought of that. I never put that into play.
That's actually the whole thing about the whole daddy thing to me. That's actually my mindset is that when somebody calls me daddy, I'm thinking, you know, they think that I find kids attractive, which, you know, kind of just grosses me out altogether because, you know, pedophilia and stuff like that.
Right, right.
And so that just, yeah, the whole thing, I mean, I know some people don't mind it in bed, but I'm just one of those guys that don't call me that. You know, you call me sir, whatever else.
And he's talking from the standpoint of flirting when you're getting to know each other.
Yeah, yeah.
Exactly. I have had that where I've had a couple women. I mean, I've talked to them all of 20 minutes and they're up in my face with daddy, daddy. It's like, dude, we've been dating for a month or two or whatever, and we're at that point where we're being intimate and we're kind of goofing around, or we're being a little, you know, we're doing a little something extra, and you throw that in as a means of, you know, feeling it out, because we're all experimenting and
right.
What do you like? What do you not like? What do I like? And that's fine a month or two down the road. But he's talking about this initial flirting straight out of the gate. You know, the first or second time getting to know somebody, you've got the baby talk and you've got the whole daddy thing.
Well, here's another reason for it too, that I don't care for it, is because I want a strong woman. I want a woman that is smart. I want a woman that's got her shit together. I want a strong woman. when you come off and acting like daddy and doing baby voices, to me, it makes you sound weak. And weakness is not attractiveness for me. I want a strong woman. Yeah, I want a woman that I will protect. However, I want her to be able to protect too. I want a mama bear. I want somebody that's strong, tough, and that can battle, you know, if need be. I want an even relationship. I don't want opposite relationship where like I'm way up here and she's so weak that she can't tie her own.
Well, and then the other aspect too is it leads into the aspect of mental health that's a big topic nowadays. How bipolar are you?
Right.
You know, if you've got to talk baby voice and everything's daddy. Now, me personally, I don't mind being called daddy. Like I said, after, you know, a month or two, I personally can disconnect from that. So, you know, you can't, I can,
right.
You know, it's a matter of personal preference. But you know, when you're straight out of the gate, you know, flirting around with somebody, definitely not a thing that we want to do. So. Okay, we're going to go into number two, but I keep calling Jason David, so we had to redo this segment for a minute.
Well, at least you weren't calling me daddy, so.
Yeah, exactly. If I was calling you daddy, we'd be having some significant issues here.
Oh, God, yeah.
So number two is taking our hats and wearing them. Jason and I are guys that are big hat wearers. Jason, every time I see him, he's got one on. For me, I wear one quite a bit. Hats are like wallets. You don't pick in somebody's pocket to pull out their wallet. If I don't know you, don't take my hat.
Exactly.
Even if you know me, most people, and specifically most ladies that know me, tend to leave my hat alone because they know I'm a hat guy. So
yeah, when people take my hats, you know, if I don't know you, I mean, I'll have a gal friend or girlfriend, someone take my hat, you know, after I know them. Fine, that's fine, it's cute, you know, this and that. But if I don't know you and you go to take my hat, you go throw it on your head, I'm going to be pretty ticked off because I don't know if you have lice or whatever, you know. You don't, that's like, that to me, like what Phil was saying, it's like taking your wallet. You don't touch a guy's hat. We like to be playful. But you wouldn't like it if we came up and just grabbed your bra or grabbed your shirt or whatever else. I mean, that's just not a good thing to do. You want to come, you know, if you want to be playful, flirty, there's a different ways to be flirty. However, taking a guy's hat, no, that's a big turn.
And we want to hear from you too. I mean, this is geared towards men and stuff. I mean, if you don't mind women taking your hat, let us know. I mean, right. You know, for me, I look at it this way. You want to hear about what's going to happen when you take a hat? Listen to Chris Ledoux, This Cowboy's Hat, and listen to him sing about what happens when you take somebody's hat. You know, it's a funny song, but it's a great song because it's very true for those of us who wear hats. You know, you're gonna ride a tornado if you come up and try to snatch my hat off my head.
Right.
And it doesn't matter what kind of, I'm a Detroit Tigers fan. He's a Seattle Mariners fan. Same league, we're rivals, but, you know, even Jason knows he's not going to take my hat. I'm not going to grab his hat off of his head. You know, it's childish. It's childish, but it's also, again, it's like wallets. Yeah. And you're not going to swipe somebody's wallet. To me, a hat is a very personal item. You know, it's usually the only item. I don't have jerseys. I don't wear sports memorabilia type stuff. The only thing I wear that has any identification of sports teams,
car brands,
brands, military, you know, USA, any of that kind of stuff, patriotism, any of that is the hats that I wear. My clothes are generally very subdued, normal clothing. And my hats are where I identify with that. So for me, a hat is a very personal thing. You got to leave it be. But Alan on this put it this way. Teasingly grabbing our hat and wearing it is what we think of as stealing our shit. Yes, this can be super cute if we know you. And I've had it where I had this cute little blonde came up, grabbed my hat, put it on her head. I'd known her for a few months. And she was hee-hee-hee-hee about it. And to me, it was what I call annoyingly cute. Because, again, I'm not going to grab somebody's hat. I'm not going to grab her hat. I just don't do that. To me, hats are a personal thing. Not only from a hygienic standpoint, but just, you know, it's for me, it's personal. And that's me personally. It was annoying, but I wasn't going to be a dick about it, you know, because of that. And it says, this could be super cute if we know you. If we don't know you, you're just someone at the bar taking things from us.
Right.
And, you know, there are plenty of other ways. And here's the other thing that can end up happening with something like that as well, is the fact that by taking our hat, especially in a crowded bar, you take our hat and you don't put it on right away, we don't know who took our hat.
Right.
So if it's me, I'm going to turn around to whoever's close to me. Hey, give me back my shit.
Yep.
Now you're starting trouble. Now it starts escalating, and it's, you know, it becomes a snowball effect. You know, just hands off, ladies, unless we actually, for me personally, I'd rather you grab my butt than my hat if you're going to flirt.
Yeah, yeah, I would agree with that. Yeah, grab the butt is better. But no, with the thing with me though, you take my hat, you know, I spend 20, 25 bucks on these. I like to keep them decent looking. You take my hat, don't know you, you're going to just grab it, maybe chuck it on the ground or whatever else. I mean, it's just childish crap. It's going to end up dirty. That's not a way to get to my heart. I'm sorry. It's not.
So this is going to be a fun one. Obviously, acting dumb is a way of initiating conversation.
Oh, yeah. Don't act dumb.
Don't act dumb at all.
Yeah, don't.
Even to initiate conversation. Alan put it this way in his Instagram post. When you play dumb in the hopes that we'll say or stop to help you figure out a parking meter, et cetera, you run the risk of us actually thinking you don't know how to do how a parking meter works. And do you really want to date someone who is okay with dating someone who actually doesn't know how a parking meter works? Think about it. Well, even along that line is, even if you just pretend that you don't know, to me, something that's annoying is pretending you don't know something basic, you know, and trying to make it cute. And I've had this happen before where a girl actually asked me to cook at her house, and I asked her where a pot was, and she's, I don't know, I don't cook all that much. But yet she knew exactly where all her pots and pans are.
Right.
And, you know, and maybe we're nitpicking a little bit, but, you know, it tells me that there's an aspect of either A, you think playing dumb is going to get you somewhere, or you think it's funny, and B, it's going to cause me stress in the future. Because if I'm truly wanting to get something or I need something and you're playing this little game in hopes of being flirty and cute, you're actually going to piss me off to the point that I'm either going to leave or I'm going to bark at you. And I don't want to do that.
Well, it goes back to, you know, we want a woman with intelligence. We want, you know, we want women that know, that can carry on a conversation. If I understand trying to be witty at first, trying to get our attention, you know, come up. If you, like I said before, you want to come up and just say, hi, my name is such and such, that'd be actually one of the best ways to do it.
Or to take his analogy of the parking meter, you know, even if you know how to use it, it's okay to say, hey, would you mind making sure that I'm doing this correctly?
Because, yeah,
you know, it's my first time in this part, or these are a lot like the parking meters I'm used to, but I want to make sure I'm doing it right. Do you know how to do it? And half the time for me, I'll tell you, I don't know anything about the damn parking meter, you know. And so it makes for a good conversation starter, but purposely acting dumb about it or dumb about something. Oh, Phil knows about cars. Well, if I actually stupid in this way, maybe, no, it's not going to work, you know, because there are certain basics that everybody kind of understands. And when you, you know, you take that quote unquote, what I've heard referred to as bimboology, and just kind of act really, I don't know what this is. That's brain melting, right?
Yes, exactly. It's not a way to get our attention for long. We're just going to think you're just doing it wrong. It's just, yeah, not my thing either.
All right, number 4, dun, dun, dun. Playing hard to get. This one we could spend an entire episode on, just dealing with playing hard to get. Oh, so we're going to try to keep this under 5 minutes if possible, because we got 4 more to tackle. Really, the big one with that is first of all, for me, I don't know about you know, I don't know about Jason, but for me, I'm as dense as a brick house. So you play hard to get, I'm going to assume you're not interested.
Exactly. I don't. Yeah. I mean, the hard to get stuff is just wasting your time and my time. If you're interested, act interested.
Yeah. And approaching somebody and flirting and, you know, trying to get somebody to know somebody is hard enough in the long run. And like I said, I'm as dense as a brick wall. So, you know, it takes most of the time it takes a lady coming up and actually saying, "Hey, I like you," for me to understand that. Say, you know, subtle little hints are not usually my forte. And if I'm interested and then all of a sudden you start playing hard to get, I don't have time to play games. I'm going to be 40 in 8 days.
You're getting old, dude.
Says the old guy.
Yeah, yeah. I know. I'm 43.
So, but, you know, we don't have time between work and family and house and vehicles and life and trying to enjoy the hobbies that I have and the few things that I enjoy doing. I don't have time to go through all the let's play hard to get. One of the best memes I've ever seen is dating after 30 basically consists of, are we going to do this or what? Which is very true. You know, exactly. These are not the games that we played when we were in high school and in college. You know, hard to get. It's like, look, if you're not sure, tell us you're not sure. We'll give you space. We got no problem with that.
Exactly.
But this whole, you know, game of, you know, and I understand a woman likes to be chased. She likes to be romanced. But there comes a point where if you don't throw us a bone because you're constantly playing hard to get, we're going to lose interest. And it's not our fault if we walk away and go, hey, this one's, she plays the game better because, you know, she'll play a little flirty. Then she'll play a little hard to get. Then she'll play a little flirty. And she's interested because she wants to see what level of excitement we bring to the table. But she's not so hard to get like we, you know, sometime we'll talk about this whole aspect of what is a league and what all this talk about, well, he or she is out of my league. That's kind of where this ends up going is if you're hard to get too long, that means that you either think you're in a separate league or somebody is out of somebody else's league that these leagues have been invented and we just lose interest. We go elsewhere.
No, I mean, it's just when women plays too hard to get.
We don't want you to be easy.
No. There's a difference.
Yeah, we want, and there's a difference between being hard to get and wanting to be romanced.
Right. Well, we want to be challenged too a little bit, but not to the point where, you know, where it seems like we're talking to a brick wall. We want that interaction with you. We want that flirtation. We want, you know, the things like that, you know, but when you come across and you're just like stonewalling us or don't return, I mean like childish shit, like you don't return texts, you know, things like that because you think it's cute, you know, don't do that stuff. But at the same, you know, like I said, just be yourself because that's what we want. We want a woman that can be herself.
And the way it was put on the Instagram thing, it says hitting on someone is awkward enough as it is. Don't send us mixed signals and make us chase you and then eventually give up. And then suddenly you're interested again. It's exhausting. And it really is because with everything else that we have going on, it becomes very exciting. It doesn't mean we're not romantic. It doesn't mean we're not romance. It doesn't mean we don't want to chase you. It just comes to a point, just like with any animal. We're all animals in this. Just like any animal, you chase something long enough, you're going to give up and just go, this is too tiring. I'm done.
Right.
So, yeah, hard to get. It's a fine line. You know, both men and women need to learn how to walk that fine line. Number five. Twirling and messing with your hair all the time. I read an article somewhere that said the woman that constantly twirls her hair, it simply means she's sexually frustrated. Whether or not that's true, I don't know, but that tends to be the thing that I look at whenever I see a girl constantly twirling her hair. It's like she hasn't been banged good in years. Now, does that add that adds a level of challenge? Because I'm the type of person that's like, okay, if she's 20, now she's like pulling her own hair, so she must be really deprived.
And she's calling herself mommy.
Yeah, and she's calling her, and she's pulling her hair, saying, "Come here, daddy, pull my hair for me." Then I'm sitting here going, okay, blue pills. Do I have enough? You know, so.
Right.
But yeah, I mean. Yeah.
I mean, constantly doing it, that's one thing when you're first getting to know somebody and you're doing it just because you think it's playful. Some people do have a little bit of a, you know, some people just do little things.
Well, yeah, if you've got a nervous tick, that's fine, but.
Or just kind of, and guys will find those little things cute after a while. But if you're just sitting there doing it because you think that's what we like, no, don't do that. I'm not into that.
And if you have a nervous tick, that's fine. But if you don't normally have a here we go again. Jeez, tongue twister over here. If you don't normally have a
nervous tick.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yes, a nervous tick. God damn it. All right. Anyway, if you don't normally have that nervous tick, said it.
There you go.
If you don't normally – sorry, the cats are jumping on the table. If you don't normally have that nervous tick, you're going to – we're going to sit there and we're going to – especially if we've known you a little bit or have seen you or interacted with you before and now all of a sudden you're sitting here twirling your hair all the time. It conjures up, you know, again, some type of mental illness. Is this person schizophrenic or – multiple personality disorder, borderline personality disorder. I mean, you know, as extreme as that sounds, you know, that stuff starts creeping into the back of our mind. Now, if you truly are just sexually frustrated, that's fine. We can handle that. We're guys.
Yeah, just leave us an email.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Send us that email.
Send us that email. We'll take care of you.
Send the email to the show. We'll discuss options.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
But it conjures up a nervous tick. And this is one of the ones where, you know, I don't know if I necessarily agree with the poster on this on Instagram, but he makes a valid point. And it's like, it looks like you have a bee stuck in your hair, which is actually very funny when you think about it.
Right.
A well-timed hair flip can be hot, but doing it constantly just makes us think you have a weird tick. I have a roommate that does that when she talks to me, and I know her well enough to know why she does it. And it is a nervous tick for her. And it means nothing as far as any of the stuff we brought up. That's just how she converses. But it's still, because of the article I read, I still sit here and go, fuck, damn it. You know, and I have to tell her, the hair thing, you okay? Cause you know, I'm, you know, but regardless of that, you know, it does, it doesn't. A little bit here and there is cool. It can be sexy. It can be cute. It can be hot. But at the end of the day, if you're sitting here pulling your own hair and twisting it into little knots, we're going to think you're weird. Okay, number six is trying to make us jealous. For me personally, I'm not a jealous type person.
Right. Yeah, I mean, if you play that game, if you go up and you flirt with me and then all of a sudden walk away and start flirting with another guy, I'm just gonna just kind of say, okay, that was fun, that was done, and kind of move on, you know?
Yeah, and here's the other thing. If you're doing it because you get off on seeing if we're going to square up, I'm at the point now where in my life where, well, I've really never been this type of person where somebody that tries to pit me against somebody else is in my sphere of influence. I don't like that. To me, it's very childish. You know, I'm going to flirt with the biggest guy in the bar, and then I'm going to flirt with the next biggest guy in the bar. And then, because I'm hot, I'm going to see which one wants to, if they want to square up, and the winner gets to bang me. That's not how this works.
Right.
And, so anybody that does that, you're trying to make me jealous. You know what? I'm going to order another scotch and ginger ale and, you know, go sit in my little corner and watch you be a hoe.
Yeah. Exactly. I mean, it's like when they do that stuff, it's like, well, you know, you're beautiful. Thanks for flirting with me. But yeah, if you're going off flirting with somebody else and you think it's going to get me to go after that other guy because of it, I'm not. I mean, I pin it back on you. That's what you're the one doing the flirting. If you think that's what you need to do, get everybody's attention. You think that's the type of person you need to be that way. But however, it's not going to do anything for me. It's not going to turn me on. It's not going to get me excited. You know, it's like, like the group that Phil and I are in, there's been a few times where, you know, there's been some ladies in there where, you know, you get togethers and stuff, and they come up and they start to flirt with you, but then they'll walk away and start flirting with other people. And, you know, you just got to kind of take it as with a grain of salt. It's like, you know, they're beautiful, flirt with me, thank you very much, and then kind of just move on. But if you're really interested in me and you're flirting with somebody else, forget it. It ain't going to happen.
And then don't get upset when we ignore you the second go around. Because if you're making your rounds, you know, you're making your rounds with that motivation. Now, having said that, you know, if I'm bringing you to, you know, and this has nothing to do with jealousy. This has everything to do with, you know, we've been dating a couple times, you know, and you're being nice to somebody. They perceive it as flirting and it goes to the next step. Then, yeah, I'll hit him in the face with a fucking brick.
Right.
But, you know, we're talking, you know, the initial come up, flirt, sit down, buy me a drink, that kind of thing. We're doing that. And then, yeah, you're up onto the next one to get you a drink, but you're still trying to. It's that whole fishing thing. You got the bait out. You're reeling it in, hoping to catch as many fish as you can in one cast, and then at the end of it, oh well, you know, they'll just duke it out and then the last man standing is the one I'll take home. No.
Yep.
And on top of it, well, this is what Alan put, and again, this is one that I kind of disagree with because I'm not a jealous type person, but he says, will you succeed at making us jealous if you flirt with other guys at the bar? Yes. Will you also start a fight or just make us not want to talk to you? Probably. Who likes feeling jealous? Now, he's one that, you know, that may be his motivation, starting a fight at the bar, you know, because he does feel jealous. I'm not a jealous person. I haven't been a jealous person in many, many years. It creeps up, but, you know, I keep it on check. So, you know, that's how he does it. Jason and I are different. We just don't let the jealousy even creep up. So. All right. All right, so the next one is faking a common interest. Now, this is a big one for me because usually I can tell within the first 3 minutes if you're faking it. I'm a car guy. I'm a gun guy. And I'm an old Western movie guy. And I have specific car brands that I like, specific gun brands that I like to shoot. I'm kind of into the whole wilderness survival outdoors kind of thing. And people think I should moonlight as a lumberjack. So if you saw me, you'd understand why. So, you know, I tend to look at those things and different hobbies. I mean, I'm also a classically trained pianist. I'm a mechanic. You know, all these different things. And I've been a certified welder. So, you know, things that I bring up and two of my passions, you know, I don't even know if Jason knows this, but for me, the two things that, you know, you better know a lot about because every new documentary that comes out on them, I'm always watching is either Bigfoot or Titanic. So those are, you know, two big ones for me. Faking interest in stuff that I'm in, I'm going to tell in 3 minutes. You know, you come in, you want to talk about cars, and you're basically trying to talk to me about a Toyota Corolla, and I'm sitting here talking about a 67 Roadrunner.
Are you talking about the cartoon with the...
Yeah, no, no, not that 67 Roadrunner. No.
Beep.
Yeah.
No, not that one.
The other one with the 383 and the four-barrel carburetor.
However, it did have the cartoon character...
Yes, it did.
Roadrunner on the back.
Yes. And also the Super Bees had the bees on them.
Right.
So, yeah, exactly. So, I mean, you could always throw that in there. But, you know, yeah, if I talk Roadrunner and you're talking Looney Tunes and Acme and I'm actually talking about Mopar, I'm going to pick it up.
Right. Yeah, I mean, with interest, you know, what I enjoy with women, and a lot of you guys do too, is if you do have some common interests, you know, that makes things flow better. But it's great if there's an interest that you don't have that she can show you, and that if there's an interest that you have that you can show her. You know what I mean? I mean, that's what makes exactly a good relationship or a good time, because, hey, you've never gone out shooting. Let's go out shooting. Or hey, I mean, I shit you not. Years ago, I dated a woman. She was really into quilts and everything. I ended up going to a quilting show with her. Myself and her were the two youngest people walking around there that were straight.
I love quilts.
Yeah, and it was kind of cool, you know, because there's a lot that goes into it. Her mom actually had this great big drafting quilting table thing, mm-hmm. that machine. It was like a $40,000 piece of equipment, wow. in their house, yeah. that they had. I mean, there's a lot to it.
So they were truly into quilting.
Yeah, they were really into it. And, you know, I liked it because it was something, learning something new. It was enjoyable. The quilt show, you know, they had like these really old quilts from like the 1700s, 1800s. It's kind of cool to look at. I made the mistake of touching one and having this one elderly lady scream at me. What are you touching it for? I'm like, oh, I didn't know you're not supposed to.
It wasn't behind a display, yeah, I swear.
There was no rope or something. Yeah, something, exactly. And I just thought it was.
Like, I don't know stuff. This stuff. And on the same token is guys. You know, and this is, I see guys more with this than girls.
Yeah.
You know, girls are a little more open to, I don't have a lot of his interests, but he's a guy. You know, he's going to go do guy stuff. Although, if you, you know, have a certain amount of weight and have blue hair and wear glasses and scream, I'm a feminist, you know, me having guy interest is probably very toxic. But on the same token, most, trigger warning, normal women will look at it and go, hey, that's Phil's interest. As a guy, he's into that. Right. I'm not into that. There's nothing wrong, guys, if your woman is 90, let's say 98% of everything you're into and she's into are completely separate. However, you do have to make a relationship work. You have to make a friendship work. You have to make dating work. So you need at least one, maybe two things that you have in common, or it ain't going to work at all.
Right. Very true. And kind of with that too, kind of on the other side of it, when you do find someone with a lot of common interest, I'll tell you, it's just totally awesome. You know, especially if I'm a big car guy like Phil, if a gal that I'm chatting with and she's into cars as much as I am, or she's passionate about it, I mean, that is almost better than her walking out in a pair of short panties and a bra. I swear.
Exactly.
To God.
When she can come out and quote me specs for a 426 Hemi with a 4-barrel carburetor. And she knows what it's going to take to make that a 10-second or 11-second car on a quarter mile. I'm sitting there, you know, it's hot in here. You know, and yeah, I've never been a big lingerie person myself. But, you know, bringing it back to, you know, what he was saying, don't fake the common interest. And this goes for guys, too. You know, I really haven't seen so many women that fake common interest. I guess it's a fairly common thing. But for me, because I'm able to see through it so fast, I'll know within 90 seconds and then I'm like, hey, we can be friends, but obviously we have nothing in common. I see more dudes doing this where it's like, yeah, you know, she's into bird watching. Really, dude, you're a dirt bike mechanic. You listen to Amon Amarth, you're going to bird watch.
Well, you might go once or twice to check
it out. Yeah, but, I mean, it's not your interest. You're feigning this interest because she's hot,
right.
And you want something from her. Exactly. You know, and I notice guys tend to do this more than women, but women also do it where it's like, oh, yeah, totally, I'm into guns. Uh-huh. What do you shoot? Well, I shoot a handgun.
Exactly.
What kind of handgun?
What's a caliper?
It's a 36. Right. They haven't made a 36 since 1890, so it's vintage. No, I just bought it last week. No, get away from me. Exactly. You know, so feigning interest, either men or women, don't do it. Just get to know somebody and find somebody you have. And like I said, you don't have to have every common interest. If you find somebody like that, that is, you know, don't be a stage 5 clinger, but, you know, definitely pursue that with all your being.
Right.
But, you know, find somebody that's got a few things, because also having a separate thing is variety is the spice of life.
Exactly.
You know, you're going to bring her into something. She may not have known she liked going to the drag races, but she's like, oh, wow, this is cool. And then she'll bring you in, like, to your quilting thing. And you're like, well, I didn't think I was normally into this, but this is actually kind of neat. You know, my dad, speaking of quilting, actually, before my sister was born, actually sewed her a quilt.
Oh, neat.
He didn't know how to do it. He did it all himself by hand and with the sewing machine. So it just goes to show, you know, and my dad's not into that kind of shit at all. But he wanted his baby girl to have this. And right. so, and she still got it 37 years later tomorrow. Happy birthday, sis. Yeah, it's just, you know, don't fake interest in something. Have genuine interest. If you're not interested or you think in something interesting, again, men and women, don't mind if you ask, hey, I've never heard of this before. I don't know if I'm interested in it. Would you mind telling me a little bit about it or taking me somewhere to learn about it? You know, and if it's not their thing, it's not their thing. They'll tell you. And that will also leave the door open of, well, I'm really into this. And if you're not into it and I can't share it with you, it might not be the best thing, but we can still remain friends.
Exactly.
You know, that way you're not navigating all of this. So anyway, Alan from Instagram put it this way. It says, it's fine that you don't know anything about our hobbies. But don't lie your way through an entire conversation about whether or not Odell Beckham Jr. would be better off on a team other than the Giants. It's obviously going to come out that you're lying, and then we'll just think of you as that weird lying girl. You know, I'm not overly sports guy. For me, sports is racing, hockey, and some baseball. But yeah, I mean, even with that, I don't follow it enough. You probably could fake your way through that with me because I haven't been following it enough. I'll follow racing enough. I'll be able to, you know, bullshit alert on that one, but hockey and baseball, you probably could fake your way through it. And I'll sit there going, yeah, that's cool. You know,
just unbutton your top a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. I'll be like, especially if it looks good unbuttoning your top.
Exactly. So,
Jason is setting up a date currently.
Oh, am I on?
Yeah. No, he's square. The last one going out here, and I'm going to read this. I'm going to read what Alan said from Instagram first because it leads into what. Because when you say texts, that's just kind of generic, and this is where right. he's coming from. The love hearts and the smiley faces work. We get those. But what does the palm tree monkey, a lady getting a head massage, have to do with anything? And then there are 90 more characters. Is this elaborate gibberish or an elaborate version of a language or conversation ender like ha 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 or K? We shouldn't have to spend an hour figuring this out. And I have to say, I agree. I was just telling Jason before we started this, the whole thing with the male or female with the shrugging, and then with the male or female sign after. I have no clue. I was like, okay, I think they're saying as a guy, I don't understand. But nobody's ever explained that emoji to me. You know, if I'm talking about, you know, the weather and you send an umbrella, I understand that. If I'm talking about fruit and you send an umbrella and I'm supposed to understand that, not going to happen. You know, and unfortunately, you know, especially the younger generations, they have this language that includes all these emojis and smiley faces and all this other stuff.
Eggplant.
Well, unfortunately, yeah, I know what the eggplant
is. And the wet one, yeah.
Yeah. Now, my question is, why the eggplant? Why didn't you use a damn cucumber? It's more anatomically correct. If you got an eggplant, you better take that shit to the hospital.
Somebody's infected.
Yeah, exactly. Either that or you better go see the doc on the boat because, yeah. You know, you're in the Navy. That's what we call the clap.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, text messages, here's the thing. We're guys. Straight and to the point. You know, even still with text messages, and this is something that makes texting, and for people that tend to actually converse and be articulate and have a certain level of articulation and conversation skills, texting for us is very difficult because some of us tend to talk with our hands a lot. You don't get the nuances, the voice inflections, you know, is he screaming? Is he not screaming? Is she, you know, sad? Is she not sad? And then you send this crying face emoji. Okay. Are you crying laughing or are you crying based on what it is we're talking about? So it's very difficult. Instead of using a bunch of, emoticons, I guess that's what they're called, and emojis, straight up words. as they say, use your vocabulary.
Exactly. And there are some that I'm getting to know more and more now. The gal that I've been chatting with, she uses a few of the emojis, and they're great emojis. I mean, like, I'll tell her she's cute or beautiful, and she'll put the blushy face emoji. I know exactly what that means. You know, things like that. That always comes in nice.
Right, after the eggplant.
Yeah, exactly. No, I haven't said that one yet.
No, okay.
Not there yet. We're in the midst of just starting to date. She's great. But yeah, getting back to it, it's just, yeah, some of them are just really weird. I mean, it seems like it's, especially, you know, us having teenage daughters, they use the emojis a lot more. And some of them are just like, you know, I mean, I'm an Apple phone and they have just like weird ones that, you know, like all these flags, it's all this other stuff. It's like, I guess they, whoever came up with these emojis, maybe they got paid by the emoji. So they're like, well, shit, I'm only getting $500,000. Let's see how much more money I can get by putting these other ones in.
Another 12, I'll make it 300.
And the thing that pisses me off the most, they don't have a good car emoji. I mean, the car emoji looks pretty lame. I mean, couldn't they do like a side of like a Challenger or a Charger or
no, something? No, it's got to be a smart car. You know that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I know.
The Hobbit Mobile or something exactly. It's like
got that. The Prius. Yeah. No, I know that. Yeah. That one, I mean, but also with like the gun, I guess, you know, it's like looks like a little toy ray gun now instead of
a regular gun because guns are offensive.
Yeah, so that annoys the hell out
of me. So, yeah, but at the end of the day, and this goes for guys too because guys are just as guilty of this. I've had guy friends send me messages, you know, some of the younger guy friends that I have send me messages. The guys that I know that are around my age, we're straightforward.
Right.
Dude, are you there? What's up? We might do a smiley face or a thumbs up, but you know, or, you know, fist bump, you know, or whatever. But as far as, you know, I've had some that send me 14 separate emojis in a message. And then at the end, he goes, we cool? And I literally look at him and I go, no, we ain't cool. Call me, motherfucker, because I got no fucking clue what you just said.
It's like you feel like you went into like a temple in Egypt or something. And
exactly.
Got a hieroglyph on the wall. It's like, okay, hang on. Let me get my interpreter over here.
Right. And it's funny you mentioned that because that makes it that language has now come full circle.
Oh, there you go.
You went from emojis and petroglyphs and hieroglyphs of pictures of things through grammar and all this other good stuff to now we're back to pictures and emoji and petroglyphs and hieroglyphs and except now it's on our phones. So a language has come full circle. Just with text, it needs to just be a straightforward thing.
Exactly. You know,
we don't, there's no voice inflection. There's no this or no that. I don't want to spend an hour Googling what does this smiley face mean? And when it pops up, and here's the other thing for me that's annoying is if I'm Googling what does this smiley face or this emoji mean, and the first thing that pops up is the Urban Dictionary for a definition, I'm already aggravated because, you know, I shouldn't need the Urban Dictionary to define what language is.
Exactly. And the other thing is, speaking about just text in general, guys and ladies too, especially when you're talking at first, don't take things too seriously. If somebody makes a joke over a text, it's probably just a joke. Don't take it seriously, you know, until you get to know them. And if you have any issues with a text they sent, don't just leave it at that. Talk to them. Give them a call. Chat with them. Find out what they really meant.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so in closing, these are just 8 flirty things that girls do that tend to be rather annoying and aggravating. Some of them, a couple of them are trivial. I mean, you know, the whole jealousy aspect, we've been over that. You know, Jason and I don't get jealous. Some guys do. Some get real jealous and this and that, and it can lead to issues and stuff like that. But, you know, whether they're trivial or not, you know, it just, if the ladies are listening to this, just spread the word, you know, most guys in general when it comes to generalized stuff like this are fairly much the same. If you're skinny jean wearing beta male, boyfriend who's a male feminist.
And a nice guy.
And a nice guy. No, a nice guy.
There you go. That's how you do it.
Nice guy. Tells you no. Tell him to loosen up his jeans a little bit. Let his balls out. Let him drop so his voice drops. Because, you know, most quote unquote normal guys that, you know, are now deemed as toxic. These are things that are brought up. Are they prominent? Some of them, yes. Some of them, no. Everybody has their own list of what is, you know, things that girls do when they flirt, that some of them have a list of 25 things. I wanted to bring up these 8 because it's just, yeah, we can nitpick it to death, you know, but these are definitely very prominent, at least, you know, from my point. The hat's a real big one, you know, twirling your hair, that's neither here nor there. You know, I can think one of two things with that.
One thing that comes to mind with that, though, is, you know, if you're doing it after I've known you for a while and, you know, it's kind of leaning towards the bedroom, and you're twirling your hair. Yeah, that's
awesome. Yeah. Then we definitely got to get shit done when it comes to that. But at the end of the day, you know, just keep it in mind. Again, this is just two guys' opinion sitting here talking. Take it with a grain of salt. This is Philip Vandermeulen. I've got my buddy with me, Jason Dale, here tonight.
Thank you for having me. This has been fun.
Yeah, definitely.
We'll see how much hate mail we get now.
Yeah, and we'll do it again soon, definitely, because, you know, that's what we're about. Anyway, one last time, toxicmasculinity.show@gmail.com. Send your hate mail there or send your love, either one. Also, anchor.fm/Philip-Vandermeulen. If you decide that you want to support this podcast, click on that button, and I will see you next time.